staying strong while I'm going and I'm striving. I'm relying on myself for as long as I'm surviving. Taking no excuses because your words are just useless. Kick off the dust and let's do this.
Hello and welcome to Remedy, A Human Awakening, a forum where we discuss the challenges we face as humans navigating today's fast-paced modern society. Today I'm joined by my buddy Corey for episode 11. This one goes to 11. I'll make that joke again.
One more than 10.
Yeah, one more than 10. We're going to talk about icons today. And the funny part is, I thought about this topic based off of a book I was reading. We talked about it in the last couple episodes, Dan Crenshaw's book, Fortitude. And so there's a passage in there. I'll read it in a little while. And it got me to thinking about icons. So when I told Corey earlier today what our topic was going to be on icons, he shows up and goes, "Oh yeah, so what icons are we discussing? Like some great people." I'm thinking he's probably thinking like Teddy Roosevelt or Abe Lincoln or really notable people. I'm like, "Oh no, no. We're going to talk about bad icons today."
Well, I asked a clarification question because for the most part, I think it's pretty clear throughout the podcast goes, right? That you have a topic and you have a narrative and a story you're trying to tell. And I kind of add some aspect or color commentary to that topic. And so I wanted to gain some clarification since we're both been super busy. And I hadn't had time to read the notes on the podcast topic.
Don't feel bad because those notes wouldn't have been there before today.
So when I asked, I was like, okay, you know, so like, is there specific icons that you're wanting to refer to that have had some type of impact and benefit in your life? And you just look with like disapproval, like no, not in a positive way. I really want to get to that quote that you have down there in section 4, but I'll be patient and I'll wait for it because it totally like illustrated the tone of what it is that we're going to be talking about today. So how did you find yourself researching these icons and how they're affecting society today?
So it actually really came about from that quote from Dan Crenshaw's book, Fortitude. So I'll actually read it. Celebrities, I'll reread it so I don't like start off with that's terrible radio. Celebrities are incredibly successful at some things, singing, acting, dancing, etc. But we often fail to distinguish their success on different hierarchies and assume that authority in one category means authority in all categories. For instance, should we be taking political advice from pop stars or just singing advice? In the pop music hierarchy, they have been successful in moving up. In the political hierarchy, not so much. Aren't we making a mistake by assuming their words and actions should be emulated in all things when in fact they are successful only at a select few? So that got me really thinking when I was reading that book and this passage in there. And so I wrote a note in our show notes about icons and how we're using icons now as subject matter experts on anything. And in reality, they're subject matter experts on almost nothing sometimes. And I'm not going to sit here and bash on the Kardashians and people like that, vapid, a-hole, air-sucking morons. I'm not saying that's who they are, but if we were to look at them and go, okay, so you make a sex tape and suddenly you're like popular, and then you have all these other businesses and stuff like that. Now I could make the argument that somebody like a Khloe Kardashian, who I honestly don't know the fucking first thing about. I don't even know what she looks like anymore because her face has gone through like a transformation into another being. But she runs for what I understand, like a $1 billion company. Like she's worth a lot of money. Her company's worth a lot of money. So she's a business person now, and she would know a lot about business. That doesn't translate to anything else in life, right? Like being a successful business person doesn't mean you know how to solve the agricultural crisis in the Midwest or something like that. So here we are having these discussions with people now that we've given undue responsibility and undue credibility for things that they have nothing, which led to then me thinking about an interview I saw a while ago now. Probably one of the most sought after journalists in the world, people that really look to her for guidance on a lot of moral and ethical issues and things where we would all want to know what Cardi B is feeling on any topic, right?
I'm definitely curious.
Yeah. I mean, because somebody that grew up in the inner city and then gained notoriety as being a stripper turned rapper, I want to know what she thinks could happen to solve police brutality issues, free college for everyone. So as the internet being the internet, sometimes it delivers things to your doorstep that you didn't order. I saw an interview with her, and the first one I ever saw was her interviewing Bernie Sanders. They're sitting in a nail salon, because maybe that's where I would find somebody that looks like my super old uncle, talking to a former stripper rapper. And she's asking him questions. And now if you know Cardi B, you wouldn't assume that she's the most articulate, well thought out, intellectual person that you've ever heard talk. And you'd be correct in that, because she talks like you think she would. And yet she's interviewing a presidential candidate. And so doing research for today's show, I pulled that up. I wanted to see some of the things she had to say. And one of the articles said, obviously these candidates are using her and her social media clout. She has a lot of followers. The article said she had 60 million followers, 68 million, something like that. And I was like, oh, I need to verify that. Let me fact check that. So I pulled up her Instagram account on the spot. And no, folks, this is me rustling paper because I've written down. She has 90.6 million followers. And right below that, this is what Corey's referring to. Right below that, her own tagline in her Instagram bio is, I have Grammy-winning vagina. All one word. That's what I'm talking about, folks, when we're talking about icons. And we're talking about people that have influence in us. She has an influence in 90 plus million people's lives, good or bad. And people are listening to the things she says. We've talked about social media influence on here, and we can talk a little bit more about it today. There are big TikTok people out there that are putting out like things as though they're factual. And you look at that, and subject matter experts weigh in on it and go, that's absolutely patently not true. And yet people like my daughter believe that stuff. They watch these people and they think that these folks know what they're talking about. So that's really what today's topic is going to be about, is why are we giving these people so much credibility, and what can we do about it?
Yeah, I think it's leveraging an interesting phenomenon that's taking place in society, which is we are deferring our own free thinking or personal responsibility to others. And maybe you would have looked to, you said it, like a Teddy Roosevelt or an Abraham Lincoln, right? Or a Martin Luther King, you know, to be a little more modern, right? You would look to those people to help give you some type of guidance on thought and goals, and or maybe things that you're trying to accomplish or ways to go about influencing change in the world. Mm-hmm. Now it's who captures our entertainment. And if we like what they're saying, right, it kind of goes back to confirmation bias and things like that, right? Or that epistemic bubble of entertainment where it's like, okay, well, you help me escape my own reality. And in turn, I'm handing over some level of responsibility and decision-making in my own life by following you to a point where do I stop and you begin, and where do you stop and I begin, right? And those lines, I think, are becoming more and more blurred, especially with, you know, YouTube and all the different social media channels, and to where people really aren't sitting around watching the TV, right? You don't go to work the next day and talk about like, oh, did you guys watch that episode of Married with Children or, mm-hmm. you know, whatever shows were on back in the day, like Roseanne, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Now it's, you're just sending all these little quips of information, and whether it's real or not is not of importance. It's right. What's entertaining. What do you think's going to get that positive affirmation from your friend? Are they going to like it? Are they going to laugh? Are they going to think it's funny? It was interesting. I was watching the Edward Snowden movie on Netflix the other day. I had never finished it, and so I finally finished it. And he talks about the 3 degrees of separation from one individual mm-hmm. to where now you're literally interacting or targeting, you know, a few million,
right?
You know, and so now it's like, I mean, we have a whole bunch of group chats with 3 or more people within them, and we're sending stuff all the time.
Yeah.
And then they have other groups where it's like, oh, I think that would be good for this group. And next thing you know, it's just like, holy shit.
Right.
So
now then how fast does it come back to you? How fast are you like, dude, I already saw that in this other group chat. Like,
Yeah.
The internet is only so finite in the stuff that we like, right? And so it comes across your feed pretty quickly and you're like, dude, I already saw that meme, or we've sent that to each other already.
Yeah, there's a couple of people that don't seem to remember, recall, or be aware of those things, but
they're the elderly of the group.
but 90 million people.
Yes.
That's fucking insane. Like, yes. You would think that you'd have some level of personal responsibility to manage right. that influence, right? And right. I guess a great example or transition to that topic is what's happened with LeBron James recently.
Sure.
You know, with,
well, think about it for this second. Like, we all know that with social media, it doesn't reach all 90 million people. Now, if only 30% of her followers get whatever it is she has to say that day, that's 30 million people. That is pretty much the population of the LA basin. Last time I checked, that's a lot of fucking people to be spellbound by the musings of Cardi B. And then we'll talk about LeBron James here and his thing in a second. What I was thinking is, as you were talking about that, is the evolution of this and late night TV. Back in the day, late night TV was Johnny Carson, people like that, right? And then he had Ed McMahon as his sidekick, and then you had David Letterman. From what I know of them, for the most part, they. And where I'm going with this is the evolution of celebrities. Celebrities used to be that iconic thing that just did their thing. And yeah, there might be something like the Jane Fonda incident in Vietnam War. There was always a couple polarizing ones for the most part, but we kind of like limited that maybe to musicians and artists and stuff like that. But celebrities were celebrities and they did their celebrity thing. And nowadays you have celebrities that become celebrities and they're using that as a platform of validity that they don't deserve and they haven't earned. And I think now, like, as you pointed out, the evolution of these things, late night talk show hosts, we went from Johnny Carson,
David Letterman,
Jay Leno, and they were comedians. They're comedians first. And the role of a comedian, I think, is vitally important in society to make people laugh and to poke fun pretty equally at both sides. I don't remember a lot about Johnny Carson and stuff, but I do remember, I think he was probably pretty fair and agnostic. He poked fun equally at both sides. And I think Jimmy Fallon is the only one these days that I feel trends mostly towards that. He kind of seems to still occupy that space of poking fun at both sides. But the evolution of that is now Stephen Colbert, Trevor Noah, who took over from Jon Stewart. They're 100% biased in their thing. Like, they're using their platform to speak about things that, frankly, I don't turn you on to listen to that horseshit at the end of the day. I want to be entertained, which is why I love Jimmy Fallon for the first part. I want to be entertained and I don't want to feel like I'm watching a damn infomercial for whatever it is your political bias is, nor would I want it on an extremely conservative late night talk show host. If one existed, I wouldn't want to hear the concept. I would want them taking whatever Republican or conservative politician to task or these things. I want the comedy, the comedic relief to be agnostic and be like, everybody gets their turn in the bucket. Frankly, it's why I love South Park, because nobody's safe from South Park. Yeah. And I would be making assumptions if I tried to guess their political leanings, because I don't think I can tell from strictly their comedy.
Well, I think one of the really interesting things about all this is that they're trying to amplify a narrative, right? They're trying to talk to some group of people. They're trying to influence them in some way. Where if you looked at like a Richard Pryor or a George Carlin, let's just stop and think, and let's look at a handful of examples, regardless of any type of affiliation to any group,
right?
And let's think and let's talk about some shit that's going on, and let's make light of some very complicated, difficult topics to create a certain level of awareness, right? A lot of the things that they joked about in some of their best stand-up routines were not about like fucking dick jokes and things like that. They were about incredibly nuanced, complicated topics. Mm-hmm. And I think in that instance, we could all agree what we're doing is not good, or it's not the best of what we can do. And now it's no longer a thinking. It's the thoughts have already happened for you, right? They're telling a story, you know, and in those documentaries that when we talked about social media and the influence, you know, things like that, the social dilemma, mm-hmm. you know, the Great American Hack, things like that really highlight how they're not sharing information and, hey, make your own opinion about it. They're creating a very specific narrative.
Right.
And now you have these icons that are reinforcing that narrative. And you have to be mindful of the fact that these aren't free thinking, independent people. These are people that are under contract. These are people that have financial obligations to whoever it is that's managing their lives, because they haven't made it independently, mm-hmm. right? They're not doing this on their own, and they didn't establish this network through their own personal development and growth, right? I guess the only person I could say that everyone could recognize in that situation has, for the most part, has up until a certain point, is Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
He's been able to operate autonomously, mm-hmm. you know, through the fact that he personally invested in his podcast endeavor and his house and doing his own things and never wanted to take money from anyone because it's, hey, this is my fucking show.
Right.
I don't know how much I could say that is still true with the fact that he's under contract with Spotify.
Mm.
You know, time will tell, you know, what happens with that type of content. I know it was a huge talking point originally when he signed that contract. A lot of people were turned off by it.
Oh, okay. I didn't know he did that.
Yeah, he didn't. Like a few $100 million deal with Spotify is what people thought about for his entire catalog. And then employees at Spotify wanted to have the ability to censor the library, to remove episodes like Alex Jones, things like that. Uh-huh. And then they wanted to have the ability to edit the podcast as they were happening to manage what was coming out to tell a certain story.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a whole bunch of clips and things on it about it, but these aren't people representing their own individual thoughts.
Right.
And if they are, there's sometimes wins, and then it's coming at a severe cost to whoever they're, people that are like brands that are investing in them, you know, paying mm-hmm. them for sponsorships, things like that, or who's endorsing them, I should say, you know, or Nike, Reebok, things like that. And so now, you can say what you want as long as it's in line with whatever that narrative is.
Right.
Rightfully so. I mean, you're under contract. They're paying to have access to whoever it is that you're talking to.
Mm-hmm.
But now they're weaponizing those individuals to further a narrative.
Right.
And so that's, long story short, what I'm trying to say is that I find it troublesome that we're no longer talking about thinking.
Right.
Or being told what to think.
Right.
That's scary.
And that's where I think, like, if I want to make a distinguish between Joe Rogan and Cardi B as interviewers, Joe Rogan is pretty amazing at what he does when he's interviewing big personalities and big people. He asks good questions. I don't feel like I think he holds people's feet to the fire quite regularly, but I don't feel like he's ever necessarily pushing his own personal agenda hard. I think there's things that he believes in that come through there. And that's just natural of having your own podcast. I mean, you can, anybody that's listening right now knows our general like persuasion on thoughts and feelings and stuff like that. It would be impossible to not have that come through. But I think he does that masterfully versus Cardi B and her journalistic aptitude. And when she sat down with Bernie Sanders, the questions she asked him are just like fully loaded. First off, they're softballs to a personal political thing. And secondly, they're just inflammatory. It's straight up, you know, what are you going to do to combat police brutality? And so you have to like make the presupposition right there that police brutality exists because Cardi B is saying it. The danger in that, whether it does or doesn't, is that 90 plus million people have access to that and are probably young and influential and are going to start believing that because Cardi B is saying it. She's not asking, hey, what do you think about this one specific event that is this thing that occurred? And what do you think can do to improve that thing? You're just simply saying, what do you think about this thing? Boom, as though it exists. What do you think about free college for everybody? And when you look at that and go, okay, for everybody, does that include me? Does that include people between 18 and 25? Does it, like, there's so much more in these things, but when she's sitting in a nail salon talking to a future potential presidential, well, it is a presidential candidate at the time, like that, there's a lot of danger in that for somebody that is coming in 100% with their own agenda and pandering to their base. And then Bernie Sanders and later Joe Biden are 100% using that base as some form of legitimacy, as though these two fucking whitest people you could ever hope to have on the planet are going to somehow connect via Cardi B with her follower base. You know, like, the audacity of those assholes to sit there and do that is beyond comprehension. And she obviously allows it because that's furthering her validity. And I think throwing in here the word of influencer, this is something that's now become in vogue via Instagram and Facebook. I think it's more of an Instagram and TikTok thing. I don't know how many Facebook influencers there are, but the very thought of an influencer, that shit didn't exist 15, 20 years ago. There were celebrities and there were people that were influential because they actually had clout. Your example earlier of Martin Luther King, he is a very influential person and clearly remains so today, as he should be. He's an amazing human being, and his message was something that everybody should take to heart. So as an influencer, like, that's what we should look to for influencers, not some fucking dumb shit on Instagram that's got a handful of followers and makes the latest like ass clapping video kind of thing. And to point this out, because it happens all the time. I run another business, but I run too many Instagram accounts. My daughter, every once in a while, is like, "Dad, how many Instagram accounts do you have?" I'm like, "Don't worry about it, kid. I got a lot going on." But I have a dog training page that we run, and I get stuff because we have like 3,500, 4,000 followers or something like that. I'm a pretty big deal over in that world. You may have noticed with that kind of clout, people want to know my thoughts on a lot of things. But more importantly, I get hit with shit all the time. Let's collab. Let's do this. Let's do that. And that's always no on my part. But what I also got the other day, a while back, that I wanted to add to this conversation was a DM from, I don't even know, it's some fucking like worldwide outreach or some, it was like a marketing page. And it says, "Hi, love your content. Our team works with a big number of Instagram accounts. We'd like to offer you a service called Power Comments. It's an advanced strategy where famous celebrities with whom we work comment under your posts. It increases your natural engagement, reach, and followers. You will hit the explore page, gain social proof, and get new clients." And then they gave me their pricing structure for per post. You know, it's $25 for this, $50, $100 per post. And it was just like, man, I didn't reply. I just screenshot it because I was like, oh, I can use it for this topic. But my reply was like, hey, go fuck yourself. I that couldn't be farther from what I care about. But this is the problem. This exists. These people are out there. And these influencer fucks are also like, I am valuable because I am. That's such a weird thing to be. If you pay me and I comment on your shit, you are instantly more valuable. And it even says there, it's like literally says, increases your natural engagement, reach, and followers. You will hit the explore page, gain social proof. So by paying whoever it is you've glommed on to that believes they're a celebrity status and they comment on my thing, I will gain social proof as though I am now a more validated human.
Yeah, you're buying credibility.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
no, I'm actually paying for credibility, like even more. Like, it's just such a fucking weird thing, you know? And again, I kind of go back to that. Let celebrities be celebrities.
Yeah, but there's too much money to be had. So that's the problem, right? The whole point of an influencer is to reach a target audience, build trust, and drive engagement. Mm-hmm. Right. So why go fucking work my ass off and be an actor and do these things? Mm-hmm. If I could sit at home and make a social media post, you know, once every 2 weeks.
Right.
And I can make just as much money doing that.
Yeah.
You know, and so is that, are you making those posts out of what you believe is socially responsible? Mm-hmm. Even because a lot of those posts have a social narrative behind them, or are you doing it because what is in your own best personal financial interest? And the hard part is kids, they're not thinking about those things, right? These young impressionable adults, and there's people that are our age and older that are as equally impressionable, right? Or impressionable. And it's,
I don't even know if I want to go down that road, man. Well, I'm going to call some people out, like, specifically.
No, that's a no-no for the internet, but
I'll tell you offline.
So, But then you have the fact, I mean, look at the fact that Instagram removed likes because kids were literally killing themselves because people weren't getting enough likes. Mm-hmm. You know, so we always refer to these group threads that we have and we share information. And I share some of like the ridiculous emails that I get or how people would phrase information requests. And it's just like, how the fuck can I help you? Like, mm-hmm. you haven't given me anything to be able to help you, but that's besides the point. I got one that was so ridiculous. A guy said, why should I buy from you when no one likes what you guys do? And I'm like, what the fuck does that even mean? Okay, please. So I'm like, fine, fuck it. I was bored that day. I'll buy it. Let's go.
You're like, you must be fun on first dates.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So,
man, you got away with words, sir.
He was referring to the fact that our social media posts didn't have as high as engagement as a competitor that he was considering getting.
Okay.
This competitor pays for what fucking country puts out all those goddamn
Philippines.
Yeah. Yeah.
Filipino bots.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And so it's hilarious because he'll post a picture and immediately, boom, it's like 300 or 400 likes. And it's hilarious because if you just go click on who liked the photo, you can clearly see that these aren't real accounts and things like that.
Sure.
But this person had so much confidence in what they were saying because they saw how many likes a photo had gotten mm-hmm. that they were going to use that as a narrative to drive a discount. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, how did we revert back to a place where we're assigning so much value to something that there is no integrity behind?
Right.
Like the whole goal is to manipulate it.
Right.
I only have a social media account, not because it's like, hey, I want you to see what we're doing. It's because our customer base is telling us that's part of the game that we have to play right. in order to be considered a real business.
Right.
Right.
But if you watch too, I've watched my daughter scroll through her Instagram feed and like blah, 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 like just go down it. Like, and I was like, you're not even looking at those things. She goes, no, I go through and I like, and I go, oh fuck. So
why?
Well, this isn't real then. All the likes I get, maybe they're just people like you that aren't even looking at it. Am I living in this fake reality? Yeah. And so then this customer that's reaching out to you presupposes all that stuff. Nobody likes you. Oh, maybe I don't spend a lot of time posting on the internet because I'm busy making a lot of fucking money doing other shit, you know, like one doesn't get the other. I built my business on social media because I didn't even have a website for the first 2 years. And we built a huge thing back in the day when you could exploit Facebook and Instagram in a more like positive fashion and see a return for that time investment. And I spend very little time now posting anything to social media on that business account. And we're doing just fine. I have more business than I could potentially know what to do with over the next couple months. And so you look at that and go, oh, well, you don't have a social media presence. Yeah, because I'm busy doing my fucking job. I'm so fucking busy. I don't have time, nor do I. Let me rephrase that. I don't choose to dedicate the time on that page anymore towards social media because I don't need it. It's a time suck and a space suck. And it puts more of these icons in my space. And everything has it. You take dog training and there's these iconic people who I actually literally know can't book their own fucking plane flights. I can't pay their own bills. And yet they are well regarded in the dog training industry. And then there are other people that are incredibly talented at what they do and they're just killing it. And they have very small social media presences. So we give this credibility and this icon status to so many people. And going back to that celebrity versus influencer thing now, I want to just go back to the days of celebrities. Let celebrities be celebrities. You're fucking famous. You're famous for whatever it was that made you famous. You're driving down the road in your sweet ass famous car and maybe get a DUI because you're famous and you're all over the headlines and on all these things. And now we have these celebrities who are now somehow believing that their opinions are more valid and that they have somehow way more education and way more experience in life. When in reality, the higher level of status you're achieving in the celebrity world, the less you're probably doing for yourself. Like I still pay my own bills every day and I still have to like make sure that we eat every night. I don't have a chef and I don't have a driver and I don't have an assistant to make sure that I get the. So the higher you move through those ranks, the more responsibility is taken away from you daily. And I think at some point it really, really moves you to a space of disconnect with the real fucking world. And I look at most of the people that are out there telling us what we should believe and telling us what we should feel and telling us what we should own or telling us what we should eat or telling us whatever. And I go, you don't even know, because you don't drive your ass to the shopping center, shopping store, the place where you buy the food, and you don't do these things for yourself. So if I had a personal chef, I would feel more like you. I think one of the things for me where I saw this was after the George Floyd killing, after he died in police custody, you know, everybody lost their mind over it, still are. And so very early on, a lot of influential people, a lot of celebrity types had a lot to say about that. And it's like, hey, why don't everybody calm the fuck down? Let the process work out. As we've all seen, there was a trial. There was a conviction, and that's what the process happens. And I guarantee you that process happened way faster than it would for pretty much anybody else. It's not even been a year that the man died and the first officer involved in it has already been tried and convicted. That's fast. I have a lot of experience in the criminal justice system on the one side, not the receiving end.
Yeah. That's not normal.
That's not fucking normal, folks. So your justice that you all demanded came expeditiously. And so you got it. So why not fucking wait for that? Why not before you stick your foot in your mouth and say all of these things that about you, how you feel, why not wait for the process to work or just vent your thoughts, but not demand certain things?
The irony of the answer to that is accountability now, yet there is no accountability to the shit that you say on the internet.
Right. Exactly. Right.
You know, 'cause I mean, it's interesting. Like if you're following any like the Project Veritas stuff that's been going on, and you know, with them like deposing like the New York Times, right, and the stance that they're taking that multiple media outlets utilize, you know, the Washington Post and New York Times as their fact checkers, right? Mm-hmm. Because it's always about that blue check mark, right? It's whether it's on Facebook or Instagram, this is not from a verified source, or this is a verified source, you know, that our fact checkers have done it. But then you have these verifiable sources using the argument that this is unverifiable expressions of opinion and are not actionable, cannot be defamatory, right? What the fuck are we doing here? Mm-hmm. Like, hold on. We're saying that we have journalistic integrity. We're doing these things, you know, that we can be a trusted source, but we're talking out of both sides of our mouth. Mm-hmm. And the same thing's happening on social media. And it's, I go to the next step of, whether my life is similar to yours doesn't necessarily carry too much bearing on whether or not I'm going to buy into whatever narrative is that you're communicating. I'm curious at how it passes the common sense test of, does this even make fucking sense? How actionable is any of this information that you're sharing? How relative is it to the topic that we're even discussing here? Mm-hmm. I don't think a lot of people make it that far, you know, right? It goes back to how all these social media things are set up to where it's like pulling the lever on a slot machine. Mm-hmm. Let me get to the next thing. Let me get to the next thing. That's going to give me that dopamine kick of, oh, that's awesome or whatever. You know, in our case, it's someone getting fucking destroyed on a mountain bike. You know, it's how do I find that next thing that's interesting? And then I'll stumble across, you know, someone's take on something. And then it's, you know,
and we've talked about this already, that your social media feed is a reflection of what you believe to begin with, because you very rarely are going to follow anything from a contrary point of view. And then on top of that, it's even whittled down even farther because Instagram and Facebook and TikTok and all the other things I'm actually not even on will only show you certain things anyway. So it's not even that you're getting the full cross section of your little snapshot of the world. You're just getting what they want to show you, which is things that you've liked or looked at, or they believe that you will. So it's such a distillation of reality. But back to that point about celebrities popping off after the George Floyd killing was Kevin Hart. And I love Kevin Hart to death. Like, he's an amazing comedian. I love what he has to say. I love his work ethic. I love a lot of that. But the man came out very quickly afterwards and demanded that these people be charged with all types of murders and lots of things. First off, Kevin Hart, as far as I understand, is not a lawyer in any way, shape, or form. He's not involved in the criminal justice system whatsoever. He has zero fucking knowledge of that, as far as I know, of his actual background. Secondly, I want Kevin Hart to be funny. I know that as a black man, he has a certain vested interest in what is occurring and how it's occurring. And I understand if he has an opinion on that and he wants to vent that as well. And he can have a message. And I think the person who's done that absolutely masterfully lately is Dave Chappelle. He did an outdoor comedy series. He's like under a fucking patio cover thing. And he had people out sitting outside because all the social distancing and stuff. And it was very uncomfortable to watch because he put a lot of stuff out there that are uncomfortable talking points that need to be talked about and need to be discussed and need to be thrown in your face and need to hit you in the gut and have a visceral reaction and also to laugh at and be light at times. And I think Dave Chappelle is doing it masterfully. His Sticks and Stones, I think it's that Sticks and Stones on Netflix, is one of his latest specials, was absolutely one of the funniest comedy acts I've ever seen. It was, and there's a lot of political stuff in there, and he's taken it to task on all sides. But Kevin Hart stood in the backyard of his multi-million dollar LA mansion and spouted a bunch of stuff, demanding things that as a celebrity, here's what I'm gonna say and be blunt, is like, I don't fucking care, dude. Like, give me your opinion, but then you're using a platform to spew all of this stuff based on your like rantings as a person. And that's where I want celebrities to go back and just be famous. Just fucking show up on the red carpet, look stupid, walk around, get in your fucking limo and go home.
Can I challenge you on that?
Sure.
Would you rather them silence themselves or for the people that are following them to demonstrate some level of personal responsibility and how they respond to that information? Because I don't think it's so much a problem as someone saying something fucking dumb on the internet, right? Because otherwise fucking prosecute me, right? Guilty as charged.
Sure.
Facebook fucking memories reminds me, which is why I usually don't post anything anymore, of just, oh wow, that's pretty fucking ignorant, or that's right. Dumb. Or who gave a fuck about how shitty the traffic was that day, right? Dummy. Like, what are you doing with yourself?
Yeah. Here's the difference. You don't have 90 million followers. I mean, maybe you do. And if that's so, why don't we have more listeners on this? You're not posting shit on your platform, dude. Do I got to pay you? What's going on here?
Yeah, well, I mean, I already sent you the email. You got it. The fucking...
Oh, was that you? I didn't know that was your company. Let's do a better job.
Sorry.
I still won't pay you.
It's fine.
Fuck your posts.
It's okay. No one can help you.
But you... I'm not saying he doesn't have the right to say what he wants. That it's First Amendment speech. I believe wholeheartedly in that. Everybody has the right to say what they want. I want people to be more articulate when they say it. I want somebody that has his clout and his status now. He's earned it. He fought for it. And I give him that due regard. Now do good with it. Craft.
But good is subjective. Right.
Sure. Maybe.
You know, yeah. Maybe there's.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's something that he's been exposed to in his life, or he feels compelled to stand up, or maybe there's someone that's close to him that's saying, "Hey, man, like, you need to fucking use this tool that you have."
Right.
In the complete inverse of the point that you're trying to make, right?
Sure.
And maybe he's doing what he thinks is best in spite of the point that I was making earlier, that he's being paid or influenced by these corporations that he's affiliated with, right? And he goes out and he does it, and it's inflammatory to your take, or, you know, maybe for the most, I would say most people can, I'm not saying him specifically, but a large group of people could say that was irresponsible of you, right?
Well, he was already clipped from the Oscars from hosting it because of things that he had posted 12 years.
Yeah. I think that was about like something. Homosexuality jokes.
Yeah. He made a joke about something and it came back to him. So that's not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm not saying that he doesn't have the right, nor do I want him to say the things that he believes will make change. What I'm actually criticizing is the fact that he stood there and demanded that these officers be charged with murders that he has no knowledge base on whether they could even be charged with that. That's my point. It's not being articulate and saying, I would like to use my clout and I would like to move into a status more of from being a comedian to being a social reckoner, and I would like to affect social change. He has every right to do that. And I think he should. Everybody should stand up for their beliefs and say that. What I'm saying is he's now taking that next step to, I am a law expert and I demand that this specific thing happen to these people. Not that we have a serious discourse on race relations in policing or police brutality or inner city struggles or any of those things that he could clearly have knowledge of. What he's saying is, I demand that these people be charged with these crimes. That's where I can't make that jump for him and go, you're a very funny person, but you now don't know anything about the laws, specifically the laws in Minnesota.
For sure. So then are you saying that as you gain influence, that you should have an increased sense of personal responsibility for the things that you're saying? Because
one would hope.
Well, right. So you would hope that to be true, right? But he didn't come out and say, based off my personal experience and firsthand knowledge of the legal or justice system, right? That these are the things that need to happen.
Yeah.
You know, he was like, hey, this should fucking happen.
Right.
Right. I mean, let's move to, we talk about icons and people that have influence. Right. I mean, you can look at our last president, Donald Trump, and the fucking ridiculous rhetoric that came out of that fucking guy.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can literally talk about the incoherent ramblings of Joe Biden right now.
Mm-hmm.
And these people literally, not only do they have the ability to influence literally billions of people because their messages are being spread across the entire world,
sure,
but they have the ability to influence policy.
Right.
Right. I mean, and
I'll be honest, two of the worst articulate people that we've had as presidents, like back to back.
Yeah.
Can't carry a fucking coherent sentence in a paper bag if you handed it to him and said, just carry that up the flight of stairs.
Yeah, always go plastic yeah, for sure.
But no. Dude, you motherfucker, we're killing the planet with these single-use plastics. I need you to use like a...
I put it in the recycle container. What the fuck? I pay for it. I pay for them to recycle it.
All right. Well, I need you to use like a rat pubic hair woven shopping bags or something. Something that's very like...
That's aggressive.
Yeah. Well... I'm starting a company. I'm going to DM you if you want to collab on it.
Sure. But right. The irony is that we come off, I think one of the, in my lifetime, the best political speaker was Barack Obama, hands down. Like,
yeah,
the way that guy communicated, I think he was
Bill Clinton. Out a lot of jams.
Yeah. Well, you know, he did. It just, I personally had a problem with his cadence, you know, and the way which he talked about it.
Yeah, just a Southern drawl.
Yeah. You know, but it's
Ronald Reagan. Well, you didn't know him. You're a little young.
Yeah. No, but I mean,
I didn't know him either to just be transparent.
I think that one of the things that we are struggling with is that people are identifying personal ideologues with what it is that they want in life, whether it's fame, acceptance, money, right? And we are confusing those things as being one in the same.
Right.
So if we talk about how dangerous what's currently happening with people that have influence in our society, you could definitely argue that one side is being amplified over the other, depending on how you look. But you made a really good point. You know, I've never seen a fucking Cardi B post, right? Like,
I don't follow her on Instagram. I happen to scroll her page.
No, but I know
pictures of her ass.
But it's, you know, so I don't even know that story is being told.
Uh-huh.
I had no fucking idea she had 90 million followers, things like that, right?
Yeah.
So there's people that transcend, I would say, political affiliation, stuff like that. Listen, the Kardashians, right? Mm-hmm. I don't think that anyone could say what their political affiliation is other than they are fucking whatever it takes to make a fucking dollar they're going to do.
Yeah.
Like, and I think they own it, right? There's no hiding behind that. But then you have these offshoots, you know, these people that carry some type of personal responsibility. So is it better to have the conversation of, hey, you need to be more cognizant of the influence that you have and understanding how divisive, you know, what you might say can be and how it could discourage the conversation of what's good for society?
Sure.
Or should we focus on educating people and reaffirming the importance of personal responsibility and due diligence in researching the information that you're receiving instead of just regurgitating fucking talking points from whoever your figurehead is, right? Because now it's no longer a political figurehead, you know, or just a late night TV pundit,
right?
And now it's your fucking, well, I don't know if Justin Bieber fucking has, I don't know anything. I don't delve in this world, so it's hard for me to talk about it. But it's, you know, these people that kids are following, right? You know, I know that there's a handful of things that my son follows on YouTube. You're like Mr. Beast, things like that. That are
so let me stop you there.
Yeah.
This is the first time in history where all of these views are accessible to any child as long as they have access to a smart device. And that age is dropping lower and lower and lower. And it's gonna be insidious. And this isn't a conspiracy theory thing. But Disney has gone full fucking woke on all their shit. Like, if everybody wants to just Google what's going on, whether you think what they're doing is good or bad isn't really the point. They have decided this is the course of action, and we are going to go as aggressively as possible on white privilege, on transgender issues, on anything popular right now. Disney has taken a stance on and said we are embracing it. There's a huge thing that just got released on interdepartmental training, Disney training for employees, that is like, this is their viewpoint.
Wasn't there something that came out with like Pepsi? Like,
oh yeah, but no, it was Coke. I think it was Coke that said we will only hire attorney law firms that have a certain quota of minorities. And throw any fucking company out there, not any company, there are a lot of companies out there right now that are jumping on this bandwagon and, in my opinion, falling over themselves to become the most responsible as far as what the current climate is. And Disney is at the head of that. So it doesn't take any stretch of the imagination to think about, if that is your message internally to your employees, what is your message now that you're going to be putting out into cartoons that my child, yet unborn, is going to be watching? It's insidious. It will be small, right? You're going to start doing stuff like that. And that message will get to children based off, because they're now watching YouTube, they're watching Disney Plus, they're watching things on their iPad. And then we move to kids your son's age. Does your son have a cell phone?
Oh yeah.
So he has access to a cell phone.
Yep.
And you can put whatever restrictions you want on there. He's still going to see things that not like pornographic or things that aren't appropriate.
No, that's already happened.
Sure.
His fucking friend shared a link and he's just like, I don't know why I got this.
Yeah.
That goes there, daddy.
Yeah.
How'd the beans get above the Franks?
Oh man. Yeah. So
that was a rough day.
I can imagine, you know. Small segue here. Can we just go back to the days where if you wanted porn, you had to walk into the convenience store and buy it yourself and look that clerk right in the face and buy that nudie magazine and hope to hell he didn't ask if you were over 18 because you look like you weren't. And maybe you weren't. Can we just go back to those days? It was a lot harder to see anything of a sensitive sexual nature back in those days. And now that's a whole, we'll do a podcast topic on that. But like,
the
poor kids, mine was just blown. I couldn't even fathom what kids could see on their fucking phone now. But take that aside. He has access, or I should say these influencers and celebrities who believe that they are now the spokesperson for the generation have influence and direct access to your son. They've never had that before. You would have had control of that to some extent. It would have come in the form of news. You would have had a newspaper delivered to you, and whether he chose to read it or not, that would be the influence there. You would turn on the nightly news and you guys would sit around as a family. But he wouldn't have had so much direct access to other people's things, right? How would a celebrity in the 1960s and 1970s and 1980s, how would they have been able to influence your child? You couldn't do it. I specifically remember, it's really horrible to say this, but at the time it was funny as shit. My parents were watching Bill Cosby's comedy in the 80s and like they were laughing hysterically. Nobody laughing at it now, but the only reason I knew who he was and because he existed was I got to watch it finally with my parents. They allowed me to do that. But I couldn't tell you what any of his other viewpoints are because they weren't available to me. nobody knew what the fuck Bill Cosby thought about anything except pudding. Period. Right? We knew what his thoughts on pudding were. And that's, well, so many jokes there,
yeah,
too.
I know. Just
but still.
Be an adult.
Yeah. You're asking a lot right now.
I know, I'm telling myself.
But that's what I'm saying is that, like, now we've entered this space where all of these folks have a platform, a giant fucking platform to influence lots of age ranges. Now, granted, Cardi B ain't going to say much to change my mind. I don't think Cardi B brought up any speaking points in her interview of Mr. Bernie Sanders, where I was like, God damn it, Cardi, or excuse me, Miss B. That is well thought out and articulate. And I see your point, and I'm going to march alongside you because of this horrific social injustice you have faced. So it's not me that I'm worried about. It is my 19-year-old daughter. He's 10 years old, right?
11.
11-year-old son. These are the things that those people have access to. And that's where I guess I'm saying I'm holding them to a higher standard, if you will, is if you're going, you gained this popularity based on people giving it to you. Everybody has decided that whoever it is now popular for whatever reason. And then you're going to ride that horse. Well, be kind to the horse that you're riding, right? Don't fucking beat it at this point. I take issue with Kevin Hart making the statement that he did because of what he's demanding. Not, I want change. My heart hurts today for what I saw. Like, there's a lot of other messages that I feel would have been better for him to use that platform for. Again, it kind of goes back to that initial quote that I read from Dan Crenshaw, is we're taking somebody who is very influential and very skilled, and he is a master at comedy. And now we're going, and what is your opinion on the murder laws of Minnesota? And I think that's just giving anybody, same with politicians. And I'll get off Kevin Hart's back. Same with politicians. I don't give two fucks what a politician thinks about my own personal daily life and stuff. Their job is very finite. They're supposed to govern. They, and especially in America, their job is clearly defined. The job description is well known as far as what a legislator does, whether it's for the state or whether it's for the federal government. And yet now we have them all, good, whichever side of the fence that you're on, dictating to us what we should be doing and how we should be living and how we should be thinking and all these other terms, right?
Well, I mean, I think, in my opinion, and this might irritate a few people, but fuck it. we've become an oligarchy, right? We are being led, right? We don't have people representing us. We're being told what to think and say, and,
right,
which is why I agree with, you know, a lot of what you're saying. It's just, I have very little faith in people as a whole. And, you know, fuck the person that's asking the question of the person that shouldn't really have an opinion on this, mm-hmm, because they're not, well, it's like asking me, well, what do you think about the fucking murder laws? I don't fucking know. Mm-hmm. I hope the people that have made a career out of this and that have been elected and that we've entrusted this judicial process with, that will do it with the highest level of integrity and will utilize, you know, our investigatory skills and science and things like that to help us make the best decision possible. Because while it's tragic someone's life was taken, there's another life at stake. Mm-hmm. And it should be our responsibility to be, I don't know. It's just, we have to be responsible for these things when
you got
to
be diligent on both accounts.
Yeah.
You have to be diligent for George Floyd and diligent for Derek Chauvin.
Right. You know, and so it's hard, you know, I totally,
but there are professionals that are involved in that. There's the elected district attorney. There's the district attorney trying it. There's the police investigators. There's the, I'm sure, FBI and a bunch of other people are investigating. There are a lot of people who are subject matter experts in it. Their job is to do that. All of these, and again, not to just pick on a liberal side or conservative side, all of them, all these fucking people are weighing in, and you're not subject matter experts on it. So why not speak to the things that you are,
so then,
a subject matter expert? Why not use your platform for things that you can change. And here, let's not be hypocritical about it. Why don't you start putting your money where your mouth is? Here's another great example. This is one that's brought up all the time, is the homelessness crisis. I know people, family members that feel very strongly about solving homeless crisis. I've seen people on Facebook who took offense to a homeless man being moved from in front of a gym in a nearby town to us. And somebody that I follow on Facebook took offense to the police moving this homeless guy, but they were called because he was harassing and intimidating female guests coming in out of the fitness place there, and moved him out. And the homeless crisis in Los Angeles is like staggering right now. And there's a lot of people that have a lot to say on it. And a lot of them are very celebrity people. I would say celebratory, but that's not a word. They're very influential people. We have a lot of influencers that feel very clearly about that. Well, here's what you can do. They all own private property, probably big ones too, right? Invite them to stay on your property. Take those homeless encampments off the street and move them there. So the funny part, the reason I'm saying this, is I just read an article about it. The city of Los Angeles wants to dedicate close to $1 billion. That's $1 billion to fight the homeless crisis down there, as they should. It's fucking horrible down in Los Angeles. And some of their proposals were building homeless places, like using undeveloped land and places like that to build tiny homes and communities for the homeless population to go, have a space, all that stuff. Two of the places they suggested were Venice and Palos Verdes down there. And they had over 15,000 signatures in opposition to that. So clearly the people, and I'm going to go out on a limb and say there's probably some influential celebrity type people that live in those two places down there. They're very affluent places. And again, the disparity on that, you have the ability to do and say certain things, and yet you don't do the things that you're saying. So if Sarah Silverman feels something about something, why doesn't she go do something about it? And not just to pick on the one side, and I'm trying to think of somebody else. The problem is there aren't too many conservative people out there that, like, this seems to be like the breeding ground
Well, I think, I don't like phrasing it this way, but I would say that one side promotes personal responsibility. Another side is saying that, hey,
yeah,
this is our problem to fix, you know, and
right.
And we are the humanitarians of, you know, elected officials of, hey, like we're going to take care of our own, you know. And for me, where it's very off-putting to me, because it's one side takes a stance where you pretty much fucking do nothing for the problem. Another side says, well, we'll fix the fucking problem. But they don't actually fix the problem. They just start throwing a shit ton of band-aids at it, which stimulates funding, which stimulates their own personal interest in these ventures that are being funded to solve these fucking problems. And at the end of the day, the people actually need the help don't fucking get it. Mm-hmm. You know, and a lot of these things are mental health issues. You know, I mean, it's going to be really interesting to see where, I mean, we talk about icons and we talk about influence and things like that, you know, where we glorify drug use and things like that. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, that's incredibly problematic. You know, you're stimulating people. It's like, hey, I'm all for free choices. Your body, you do whatever the fuck you want to do to yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, as long as you're not hurting or affecting someone else in that process, do you, whatever sure. Fucking makes sense for you there. But to glamorize it, you know, to go ahead and,
sorry folks, I tried to stifle a cough.
You just gotta hit that. You gotta remember to hit that button in front of you. But,
is that what,
yeah. Yeah. You know, but,
I hit the button
to go ahead and to say that this is a good thing. This is something that should be celebrated, or this is something that should be funded or facilitated by your local, regional, or federal government. I don't know. I find very, problematic.
Yeah.
You know, and there's a whole other conversation to be had there on the war on drugs and the role that those types of things are playing in our lives and the glamorization of it. I don't know.
You brought up LeBron James earlier, and I think he's an excellent person to discuss in this as far as an icon goes. You know, he's been talked about since was he's in high school when they first started talking about how phenomenal he was.
Yeah. He, right? I mean, he's been, yeah. he's, if I remember correctly, I only know this because of the conversations I've had with people regarding his social media posts, but
right.
I think he's been in the league. So the NBA for 18 years, I think yeah. he skipped college, right? I think he skipped college.
I believe so.
I think he went straight from high school, but I mean,
I literally don't watch basketball yeah. other than when Michael Jordan played and yeah. I did. So, but I know he was talked about from a very early age, and I think you're right. I think he went, he was such a phenomenal player that he went straight into the NBA and skipped college and stuff and has proven his worth and lived up to the hype and all that as a lot of star athletes don't, you know, so I'll give him credit on that. And he's a phenomenal basketball player. He's not better than Michael Jordan and we all know it, but you know, he is LeBron James and he commands that salary and commands that respect on the court and all of that. Again, he's not a police officer. He's so far removed from that world anymore. On both sides, he's never been in law enforcement. I don't know his history whatsoever. So I couldn't speak to where he grew up, how he grew up, what type of neighborhoods he grew up in. And I don't want to be so audacious as to assume that because he's black, he also lived a certain experience that black people living in the inner city live versus black people living in the suburbs versus black people that live in affluent neighborhoods. Cause those are not the same lived experiences. And let me even go back. I'm going to take black out of that equation. People that live in the inner city have a different lifestyle than people that live in the suburbs, then have a different lifestyle than people who live rurally and have a different lifestyle than people who live in affluent areas. We'll just put that across the board. Those are not shared experiences in any way, shape, or form. So I don't know what his background is, and I don't want to suppose any of that stuff. However, he has now come out and made some very pointed statements as far as what he believes should be happening with a recent police shooting of a young girl that was stabbing another girl. It's on video. Like, you all want body cameras, you got them, and you don't like some of the stuff that is seen. This is a very horrible, graphic situation. It's what we would refer to as a rapidly changing, dynamic, tactical, fluid situation. Like, shit happens really fast, and we all got to sit at home and watch it and rewatch it and watch it and rewatch it and go, now that I've been able to view that 10 or 15 or 30 times and replay it and pause it and look, what would I have done in that moment? I would have shot the knife out of that girl's hand, you know, or whatever.
I would have tased her. That's my favorite. I would have tased.
Yeah.
Tasers a fix all.
God, if only it was. I'm not gonna lie, it sucks when it works. Like, I have been tased as a training, and when it goes as planned, it's a wonderful tool. But as with all tools have their failure points, and that one has one. And so, again, we're not here to discuss the legalities of that shooting or the ethical consequences of the shooting or any of that. It's just simply that officer was faced with something that I'm quite sure when he woke up that morning, he didn't hope he was going to go to work and have to shoot or get to shoot, depending on which side you believe. If you believe police are murderers, then he woke up and he was like, I hope I get to shoot a 16-year-old black girl today. Or on the flip side of the coin, if you do view him as a human being and he thought, I hope I don't have to shoot a 16-year-old black girl today. That right there is one of those situations where I would hope LeBron James would keep his fucking mouth shut and play basketball. Go out on the court, leave all of your politics and all of this other stuff. Like, and on top of it, this is the part that bothers me is we use sports and we use comedy and we use the movies and we use music as escapes from daily life, right? If I go to a concert and I'm there to enjoy the music, I really don't want to be lectured by the fucking musician that got toted there on a giant bus with all of their shit and 50 plus people tearing that up and down. I don't want to be lectured on my environmental consequences, right?
Like, what if it's just like a really shitty band at like a dive bar that rolled their shit together in their Geo Metro?
Yeah, they could say whatever they want.
Okay.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. Just,
I mean, it's $1 beers, bro.
Preach it, brother. Yeah, whatever you say. You borrowed your mom's van to get you and your bandmates here for sure. But I mean, seriously, listen to go pick Go pick any music star out there, whichever side of the fence they fall on. And if any of them are lecturing on environmental topics, go to a fucking festival and look at what that place looks like. I've done that before. I've waited for the crowds to go out just to be able to exit the venue. The big outdoor festivals, it's fucking horrendous. I've also thought that's a huge money-making opportunity because, shit, if you were industrious and you had some trash bags with you and you started collecting cans, holy crap. But, like, it's a fucking disaster. And so look at the audacity of that. But my point of that is we go to these things. We watch sports. We watch comedy. We listen to music. We do all of these things to be entertained and to be taken away from all the other shit in our lives here and there. And when I'm watching basketball, if I chose to, I don't, but if I was watching basketball, I don't want to be inundated with the signs and feelings of these far removed, like catered to athletes anymore. I don't like your job, literally your job, the job you chose to do and the job you choose to do every day, because you could stop doing it and go do whatever you want. You could say, I've made my millions or I've made my hundreds of thousands, whatever it is. If you're not well-to-do as an athlete or entertainer or whatever it is, you could say, I'm going to stop doing this today and I'm going to go do whatever it is that I proclaim that I know a lot about. I'm going to go do that, or I'm going to go change this system, or I'm going to go fight for this, or I'm going to go to law school so I could be an attorney and fight for the oppressed people or whatever. But you're not. Your job is to, in this his case, play fucking basketball. Go out there and play fucking basketball and be one of the greatest to ever play it and do that. But that person who, I don't know how many followers he has, but I'm sure it's more than 10, probably
it's
more than
it's got to be more than a WAP.
Well, he doesn't have a Grammy winning vagina.
I'll look it up.
He's pulling it up. He's got a few followers, let's say a couple dozen. What he posted, what he tweeted was like pretty blatant right there. You've now changed from somebody who could be an activist, who somebody could affect positive social change, from somebody that could use your platform and say, look, guys, there's these things going on that I don't agree with. And there's these things that I've been personally affected by. There's these things that people in my family have been personally affected by, whatever it is. But he took something that he watched, he had a visceral reaction to, and he posted it and said, you're next, with a target on the guy's back.
Okay. So, this might piss off someone, but the vagina wins again. He only has 84 million followers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
There's no stands to reason Cardi B, as a former stripper, would have slightly more followers than LeBron James.
Third best NBA player, because he's not better than Michael and he's not better than Kobe.
No.
And I guess and I totally understand your point, and I'm not trying to argue against it, because I definitely, you know, the simplistic view is, hey, be more responsible with the influence that you have, fuckboy, right?
Right.
But then you go, well, you know, what are they supposed to do? I don't know. I mean, look at Michael Jordan, look at fucking Shaq, look at what Kobe was able to accomplish, you know? Yeah. And I mean, and Kobe didn't have the life beyond the league that I think he was working towards.
Right.
But the amount of influence and good they've been able to do and to put back into those communities and these things that they revere and hold in high regard,
right,
they're not putting it out there on the internet for the look at me, you know, I'm fucking virtue signaling here. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's, yeah, I mean, it's frustrating. And
I'll use two examples because they're local to us and they're iconic as well. Joe Montana and Jerry Rice, right? A white man and a black man, both playing on the same team, playing in the same sport. And both of them went out and played. As far as I know, to my knowledge, neither one of them was highly political in any way, made giant overreaching political statements. They didn't show up with shirts on claiming their political views or their statements on anything that I know of. And feel free, like, send us a message, put something in the comments on the show notes and stuff if I'm wrong on that. But those two men were iconic athletes. Now, I can make the counter argument that somebody like Muhammad Ali was. He was an activist. And here's where I'm also okay, is if you want to make the leap, now I'm going to use this platform and I'm going to pivot and I'm going to now become an activist and I'm going to move past what gained me prominence was something, this achievement over here, and I'm now going to move over into this space and gain prominence as an activist and use my voice there. That's fine. But still, as it stands right now, what we're talking about today is just icons and giving these people way more credit and credibility than they're due. These are one of my favorite sayings ever that I pretty much came up with on my own is these people take shits too, right? They are no different than you and I. They sit on this toilet, they strain, they may have hemorrhoids. It's all the same as everybody else. They are not unique. They will all die just like we will. And they are not immune to the forces that plague every single person. The old saying was they put their pants on one leg at a time too. But somebody like Cardi B, I think, probably didn't wear pants for part of her career. So I can't say that like with a straight face, but I do know she poops. And so like, right. If somebody like that,
I love it. Cause I'm sitting here going like, yeah. I'm like, oh yeah, everyone's got a wiping hand. But then I was right. Like, no, we used to install some pretty badass toilets to do 90% of the job for you.
Oh yeah. I got one of those tushies. Those, one of those things that, yeah. That like,
I think it was called a Cooney. Like it knew when you walked in the room, it opened up, Cooney. It warmed up the seat.
Like
it,
a Cooney?
I don't know. It was a Kohler toilet. It was like $4,000 toilet that we would sell.
Wow.
Yeah. Pretty fucking ridiculous.
Wonder if Cardi B's got one in her house.
Yeah, and that's what I think about. I'm like, that's a guy that fucking makes, you know, a few hundred thousand dollars a year. Now we're talking about people that are making tens of millions of dollars a month.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, how far removed the local guy's quality of life is sure. from mine relative to right. how far removed he is from mm-hmm. theirs.
Right.
You know, and yeah, I would love for people to exercise personal responsibility or to even just take the simple next step of saying, I believe this for these reasons, and to say in a clear, calm mind, right? Anytime you act out of emotion, you know, you're probably not going to do the best job of conveying whatever it is that's important to you. Some right. of that will be lost in the excitement with it.
Sure.
You know, but yeah, I know. I mean, to the point you were making earlier, you know, people having access, you know, to kids at a younger and younger age, you know, and having substantial influence on them. It is definitely something I have to consider almost on a daily basis.
Yeah.
I have to be constantly asked, what are you watching? What are you doing? I have to watch a fuck ton of shit that I don't want to watch because I'm trying to figure out, is there a message that's being conveyed in there? If there is, or if it's slanted in a certain direction, I have to have the conversation with them of, hey, this is this person's thoughts and opinions based off this. You should have your own. If you don't right. know what you think about it, I can help you gain access to information. And all I can hope is that he will be that diligent in his own life when I'm not there holding his hand through what he's doing or when he's a teenager here in a few years, just doing whatever the fuck he wants to do.
Sure.
To some regard. But yeah, it's.
Yeah. And I think that's kind of how we want to wrap this thing up is talking about, you know, I think, As our podcast grows and evolves, we're not sitting here trying to discuss politics and stuff like that. This is about the human condition and about how to be better humans and to fight some of the things that are in our daily lives. And I think my thought for this topic was not to just sit here and rant against celebrities today, but to talk about the real dangers and the real problems I see of even myself, of the stress that comes into my life because of this stuff. But when I talk about somebody like my daughter at 19 going on 20, when we talk about somebody like your son who's 11, when we talk about these folks that now have this stuff in their lives, that we're all part of the experiment. We are all part of seeing how the fuck this turns out. We know what TV did to us. We've lived with it long enough now. We know what radio did, and we know how to navigate that. We know how to navigate print news. Is that even still a thing? So we know how to combat these things, but we are all now living this experiment, which is so exponentially growing. Print news could only affect you in very limited ways, right? It was a binary transaction between the person that walked by and saw the headlines or that bought the newspaper and read what was involved in it. And then they may have a discussion with their neighbor who didn't see that stuff. But this is insidious. It's in every single aspect of our connected lives right now. And it's not making us better if we look at the whole. And that's where I think in future podcasts, we can discuss like really taking a step back and going, man, the world isn't as bad as the media feeds us. I know that. And yet here we are discussing something that's like a very telescopic view of the world. But we have to be really careful on how we navigate this with our children.
No, absolutely. And I think it should go without saying, but I'll say it to make sure that it's clear that you don't have the good without the bad. And even though we didn't talk about, you know, a lot of amazing icons that have substantial influence, I don't think those messages are struggling to be heard and received by right. society. They're out there, you know, they're being promoted. And so we're not having conversations that are easy to have. We're not sitting here trying to reinforce, you know, various thoughts and ideas about certain things. We're trying to challenge status quo. And this isn't, at least for me, my participation in this isn't to promote a narrative that I believe in, but to challenge myself and to think about different things. You know, I mean, this is an experiment, right? It's in the description of what the show is, right? You know, and we're all trying to be better, and we're sharing these thoughts and ideas and concerns out of personal responsibility and curiosity, and everyone's participation is greatly appreciated and welcomed. And, you know, I mean, that's, I think all we can do is have a conversation. We're just happen to share our conversation with a few hundred people at this point.
Yeah. Well, and share this conversation with your friends too. We need it if we're going to get sponsored. We need it if I'm going to be able to buy a house and become a real celebrity influencer. This like Mickey Mouse 133 downloads shit isn't going to get me where I want. I need a fucking platform where I can stand up and shout the world how I feel as somebody right off camera that's holding the camera, because I don't have to hold it myself anymore. That's Bush League bullshit. I want that assistant right off stage to be able to hand me my fucking caramel macchiato, double latte, espresso, soy milk thing, because I'm not getting that shit myself anymore. Right.
You're the reason there's a line of Dutch Bros. If that's what the fuck you're ordering. All I want to do is get a blue check mark so I can say we need fucking less lines of Dutch Bros. That's all I care about.
Yeah. Well, I need to get to the point where I don't even wait in Dutch Brothers lines. That stuff somehow gets piped into my house or something like that. I don't know.
Oh, but fuck.
Yeah. Tell your friends, hide your wife, hide your kids. I love that clip.
It is.
We're gonna wrap it up on that. We're at well over an hour, and that's what we like to keep these to. Thank you as always for joining us as we push through some topics, and thank you, buddy, for pushing back on some of that stuff. I think this has been our most like I don't want to say contentious, because we're not mad at each other, but most like, hey, let's actually talk. I could see that you're having differing viewpoints on some of the things that I'm saying. And I think that's what will make this more exciting in the future and more dynamic, is we don't always agree on things, and we aren't going to agree on things. And as we buy more microphones and have guests, we will talk with people. And I think we even have an opportunity to have folks on here with completely contrary viewpoints and or just viewpoints. I don't even want to say contrary, because I don't want to have somebody come in here and we have an antagonistic space right off the bat. But just having the, okay, you have a viewpoint on this, and let's dissect that. Let's delve into that and see if I can understand a little bit better where you're coming from, and you can understand a little bit better where I'm coming from. I think it would be fun to do that.
I think it's important. I think that's it's how we evolve. It's how we grow. And it's how we develop. Like my goal is not to argue with someone, because then I am advocating without willingness to accept another side.
Yeah.
I want to have a conversation. I want to be challenged. You know, I also want to be heard. I want to be able to develop and evolve the way in which I communicate my thoughts and ideas so that they're being received as intended. Cause I think that's one of the difficult things, is that everything has to, you have to capture someone's attention in a very small way, which I think goes back to your point of, you know, the responsibility associated with the influence that you have, and how to use that for good versus bad, or to be mindful of that and to accept responsibility for that. And I think as society, we just have to hold people accountable.
Yeah. So I'm going to just say it bluntly. When I get people, because then I can call them my people, when I have those people, then my people are going to reach out to Kevin Hart's people, and we're going to have them on the show. I'm throwing that out there. Maybe it'll be on the 20th. Maybe it'll be on the 100th. I don't know. I don't know when these people on my end are going to show up. So it's kind of one of the sticking points right now. And I don't have Kevin Hart's email directly, but maybe I'll DM him. Fuck, I'll have Cardi B on this show too. I don't even care. I'd talk to her.
I'd look.
What does that mean? Now you're objectifying her. That's a whole other podcast. We'll talk about that later. She's more than just a giant ass and whatever else she's got going on. She's a thinking human being with thoughts and breathing as well.
I'll research it.
Okay. Yeah. Google her. We'll catch you guys on the next one. Have an awesome week.